me.
Othello on the beat.
What's going on, everybody? Jay Wright with Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Episode, I don't know, but this is just another episode because I miscounted my episode. So I'll get the correct number when I'm loading it up. But shout out to everybody listening. Thank y'all for y'all support. As always, the numbers are great. Keep listening. Keep pushing. Keep giving me feedback on whatnot and whatnot. I really appreciate you all. I don't take y'all for granted. I got another good episode for y'all today. You know, as always, I try to be transparent. I try to be honest in my moment. And today's going to be a great personal relationship episode, a reconciliation episode. I want to dedicate this episode to all those who might not be disconnected from different family members or what have you, whatever the case may be. I want this episode, this story, to be a catalyst, to be an example, just to maybe encourage you to reconnect with that person that you know you need to reconcile with. You don't need to reconcile with everybody, but, you know, just those personal people. And today's episode is entitled Family Feud. I got a guest here who knows me very well. I know him very well. Before there was a Keisha, before there was a Shonda, before there was a Brinley, Allison, Dallas, Camille, Venturi, Harmony, and Riley. We got a lot of kids. Before them, it was my partner in crime, my best friend, my baby brother. Nobody other than Sheldon Wright. What's going on, Shel?
What's going on, bro?
Not much, man. I appreciate you being on the podcast with me today. And we're going to talk about, you know, our journey from where we were to where we are now. And that it was a gap between those from those points. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. And I hope that you all get something out of this episode. And that is an encouragement to you. So, when I say Olajuwon and Sheldon, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Olajuwon and Sheldon, whenever you say that, I think of like partners in crime.
Right.
Pretty much like Batman and Robin. I'm not going to say, you know, Jordan and Pippen, but I was keeping on that level of Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. Like, if you seen one, you seen the other.
Right.
Like, so it was like no, pretty much no separation.
Right. We was definitely, you know, a lot of people used to think that we were twins because we were always together. You know, we were, when you saw one, you saw the other one. Like Shell said, we were always together. Even when we got older, in our older years, yeah, we was always riding together, hanging out or whatever like that. Because, you know, like I said, he was the number one guy. He was my best friend.
I think even now, some people think that we are twins now. Like, I get, whenever I go somewhere, someone say, you look like Olajuwon. Olajuwon look like you. You know, what's y'all difference? Like, I got to explain, like, I'm the one that got the hair. Olajuwon don't have the hair. And okay. So that's the difference.
We're going to keep it classy, people. We're going to keep it classy. We're not going to throw mud. We're not going to throw mud because, you know, anyways, hair is a touchy subject. I'm surprised to hear that now because growing up, you know, you and Johnny always were like, look like dad and it pops. I'm not going to start trying to be formal. Look like pops. And I always look like ma. And I always thought y'all were the handsome trio. You, Johnny, and my daddy. Not saying I'm ugly because, God blessed me with a beautiful wife. So I had to look like something. And my mom is beautiful. So I just always thought y'all guys were, I was different from all of y'all. And that's just surprising to hear that people think that we look alike now. I guess that's with the beard. And Sheldon, he don't want to admit it, but he's been getting some shellac it till it's black.
This family feud,
right? So I'm not going to let you sit up here on my show, on my podcast,
disrespect me
and call me bald head when you be getting black it, shellac it till it's black it.
All right, just a little spot. All right.
Anyways, excuse me, but nah, when you saw one, you saw the other. And he was partner in crime. We was, you know, always wrestling, always fighting, and always, you know, I was fighting him, and always, yeah. I toughened him up. I like to say that I toughened.
He had something to do with it.
I think I did. But, you know, I would growing up, I had a girlfriend in my head. I'm gonna tell you how I used to do Sheldon. I'm gonna tell two stories that kind of give you the picture of me and Sheldon relationship back in the day, and things have changed. I'm delivered now. But the first one was, it was this girl that I used to like, that my mom used to babysit. Her name was Jessica, and I love Jessica, man. And she used to come over, and she used to always want to eat our food. Or whatever like that. Cause you know, mama is the best cook in the world.
Yeah.
She don't cook no more, but she was the best cook in the world. She would want what mama cooked. So, you know, me being the gentleman that I am, I'm the gentleman. And so I gave her my food. Well, if I'm giving her my food, I'm hungry. So of course the logical thing to do is I give her my food, and then I go and take Sheldon's food. Me and her on our little date eating.
And she had me a veggie burger.
But
5 years old, a vegetarian.
Sheldon was the youngest vegan to ever be recorded. And thanks to me, I put him on this health path that he's in. But another story was, and I'm embarrassed to say, tell the story, but I'm gonna tell the story because it's pretty funny.
Oh. So we were, I know you go ahead.
So we were younger, and we used to have bunk beds, but you know, me and Shad didn't sleep on those bunk beds. We would sleep together because we were small enough, we were young enough. Nobody want to fall off that top bunk bed because they don't got the rails and stuff like they do nowadays. If you roll off that bed, you just off the bed. Yeah. So anyways, you slept on the bottom bunk. And, you know, I had, let's say I just had a little extra to drink that night. And I would drink extra all the time. So I had this issue as a kid growing up or whatever like that. I don't do it no more. Ask Keisha. My side of the bed is clean. I went to bed one night, and I used to get a whipping for it, whatever like that. So one night I thought I outsmart my mama. So what happened was I was sleeping by the wall and Sheldon was sleeping on the other side of me. So I went to bed, of course. So I went and I changed my underwear, went and threw them in the dirty clothes where mom get the clothes, pick the clothes up and wash them for us or whatever like that. I threw the coat, my underwear, sore underwear in the dirty clothes. I put on clean underwear. And then what I did was I put Sheldon over there.
He rolled me
over. I rolled Sheldon over into the spot where I had wet, and I slept on Sheldon's dry side.
That is nasty.
So when mama woke up, we woke up that morning, mama came in there and she was like, Shadda, you been in the bed? Shadda didn't know what was going on. Shadda used to sleep hard. And Shadda, mama was like, Shadda, you been in the bed? Mama, I ain't peeing in the bed, mama. So mama went and got the belt and started whipping Shadda because he peed in the bed.
And you know, if you get wet, you know, once they hit you, it stings and stuff like that. So, yeah, man.
So,
So Shutter was, the whole time Shutter crying, it wasn't me, mama. It wasn't me, mama. And I did my best acting job. I stayed, kept my eyes closed. I was like, stay asleep, Lottie. Keep your eyes closed, stay asleep, stay still. And mama was at the tent Shutter behind her. But later on that day, I didn't think things through to go and go wash the underwear out. And then
didn't know how to work the washing machine.
I didn't know how to work the washing machine at the age of 6 or 7, however old I was. I didn't have to think about going to wash the underwear and put them in the dryer, nothing like that. It didn't get to my mind then enough. So mama saw that it was my underwear, and I got an even worse whooping. But, you know.
Thank God for mama.
Thank God for mama. I will admit in front of everybody, it was me. I peed in the bed.
I was a bed with her.
I was the bed with her. And I pushed Sheldon over because I was tired of getting those whoopings. I would do stuff like that to my brother. But even though I picked on my brother, nobody else could do that to my brother. I felt like I was my brother's protector. And I always prided myself on being my brother's protector, and I would go down for my brother at any given moment, and it even kind of spilled into us being adults, which I think caused a little friction because I wasn't willing to let go of the little baby brother role when he was, although he'll always be my baby brother, he was a grown man with kids. And well, no, it ain't even happen with the kids. A grown man that was married, that had his, that was establishing something for his own. So we're going to just talk about that because, like I said, we grew up together, went through school together, whatever. Sheldon kept me out of a lot of things. I think I kept Sheldon out of a lot of things, whatever, yeah, like that. We always had each other back, but as we grew into men and we started dating, and I was with Akeisha, and he was with Shonda. Shout out to our beautiful wives. And
hello, Shonda.
What happened was within that transition came a lot of friction between us. So we've already talked about this, but I feel like I say, I think this is a great episode of reconciliation for somebody else. Because we had this powwow, I think, last week, I think.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these situations, those situations that we felt was the moment you felt like something, the things wasn't the same between me and you. What was the situation in your head, and then I give you the situation that what it was for me?
I think for me, the situation that kind of changed for me is when you started Run Church, when you started Victorious Life.
Okay, so before you go there, let me talk about my story,
okay,
my part, okay, because yeah, mine happened before yours.
Okay,
so this was what this happened back in 2013, I want to say. Sheldon was preparing to get married. And, like I said, all of us grew up together. It wasn't just me and Sheldon, but we had kind of like got this like just crew or whatever like that, where we were just always together, always laughing, always joking or whatever. It was me, Sheldon, Alden, Dedrick, Mike, Tanisha, was in town. We were like, that was our crew. We were always, yep, joking and laughing and acting crazy with each other. Like, there was never a dull moment with each other. And all of those people who I just named were a part of our family. And within our family, growing up, our uncles would call us these certain names, a name that I'm not going to say here on this podcast or whatever like that. So they would call us these names. Or if we was crying too much, they'd be like, stop acting like this. Or you acting this way or whatever like that. And it became a ongoing thing to where we started developing, we start calling each other that or whatever like that, and start saying like, oh, you acting this way, or you were this or whatever like that. And you know, most times we would always laugh it off and joke about it or whatever like that. And it was an ongoing joke. I mean, it was a belligerent joke. I mean, we would just go on and on and on and on about it because that's what entertained us, being naive, being gullible, and not being mature, just being straight up with it.
Yeah.
So by this time, I was already married to Akeisha for 3 years. Going on 3 years, Sheldon was about to get married to Shonda in 2013. So we all had dinner over at our parents' house, and me, Shell, Keisha, and Shonda were sitting at the table, and Sheldon, we was joking or whatever like that, and Sheldon said something. I was like, man, you acting like a little, you know, and I said the word or whatever like that. It ain't no cuss word, but it is a derogatory word or whatever like that. A word that we shouldn't use or whatever. But like I said, I was just so used to using it or whatever. So I'm like, you acting like a little or whatever like that. And I called him like you this or whatever like that. And I expected for us to laugh it off. But that was not the response that Sheldon gave me. Sheldon gave me like a look of like, don't call me that. I'm not that. Don't talk to me that way or whatever like that. So What take us back to that. What was it with you?
And I think that like that was my mindset. That was my mindset of how I felt at the time. Like, you know, because I'm just, you know, I'm finna get married and I'm trying to step into the role of fully manhood, like trying to, you know, get grips of that. And like we said, like I said, I think it, like we talked about it before, like, you know, I think for me, I should have handled it a better way.
Right.
Like, but, you know, and at that time I was immature about that too, because and that's one thing I think we're trying to bring out that I want to bring out is, you know, being careful with dishing stuff out. And then, you know, when the time come, you know, and someone use that same word on you,
right,
you can't accept that word.
Right, because that's what was upsetting to me, because it's like, we've been saying it, joking like this whole time, and then when all of a sudden, I was like, well, why are you changing? And I was like, you know, you laugh when I call Alden this, or Dedrick this, or Mike this, or whatever like that. You laugh at everybody else. I'm like, well, what's the change with you? And you were like, because I could do that. Now that I realize, you know, although I felt you were wrong, and if you didn't appreciate being called that, that's, you know, you're a man and you stand up for what you believe straight up. That's how Pop raised us or whatever. But when you said it, like the way you said it, it rubbed me the wrong way or whatever like that. And it made me even mad about it or whatever like that. And what happened was, instead of me saying, this is Sheldon standing up for himself, even though he's my little brother, he's standing up for himself. And not only that, y'all were going through a lot of pressure because y'all was closing in on y'all wedding day. So you were up under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Because I remember after we had that, we was about to come to blows. It was like a bad situation or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And to where our parents had to break it up or whatever like that.
It would have been another one win for you.
Nah. Because see, it's a different, as a man, you get a different kind of strength, man. When you doing it in front of your woman, you get that, hey. And the next thing you know, like, you thought Logic won one, but Sheldon had none, picked him up and bound him on his neck. Although my wife was there too, so I wasn't finna let that go down. But, you know, we weren't mature enough to look at the situation from a different perspective. I didn't see it your way, you didn't see it my way, and we thought each other was right. We were right for ourselves and the other one was wrong, and we just kept clashing or whatever like that. And what happened was, I've never seen you respond to me like that, so it automatically made me think, that's Shonda.
Yeah. And my wife had nothing to do with
it. And that's wrong on me. I'm saying that's wrong on me now that I look back on it. And like I said, we had all four of us had this conversation. Me, Keisha, Shell, and Shonda.
we had this conversation, and I apologize even in public right now that I apologize to Shonda, because that was not fair to put that on her when Sheldon is a man for himself or whatever like that, and he makes the choices that he wants to make in life or whatever.
And the same thing I said too, like we, like you said, we already talked about it, but I had to apologize too, because like I said, you know, you reap what you sow.
Right.
And like you, what you dish out is going to come back, and it don't have a set date about when it's going to come back on you. You can have a bad day and it's going to come on you. Like, right. You know, you just got to, you know, eat it up, like accept the responsibility.
Right.
And at the time, I didn't accept the responsibility of my action, of what I did.
Right.
So, you know, like we said, we already talked about it. And I had to apologize too for that situation that happened. So,
right.
But the funny thing about that one is, when we was talking about it, Keisha was like, yeah, I remember that day.
She was fired
like,
up.
She remembered everything. So I'm like, Shonda, you remember anything? Like, nah, I can't remember nothing, baby. I'm like,
the thing about Keisha will remember those type of things. And then one thing about it with my wife, and I say this behind her back in front of her face, Keisha ain't finna lie for nobody. Mm-mm. She ain't gonna lie for me. She ain't gonna lie for it. She don't care who it is. She not gonna lie for nobody. That's just the type of person that she is or whatever like that. So even if I'm in the wrong, she'll say, yeah, babe, you was in the wrong. You did this. This is what you did or whatever like that. But Keisha can call to account. That's why she in the legal system that she do what. That's why she went where she is now or whatever like that, because she just has that memory. Now, silly stuff, she ain't gonna remember. But no. Like stuff like that, Keisha can tell you word for word
what you had on,
what you said, and how you said it or whatever like that. But that's just funny. Shonda don't remember any of that or whatever. But yeah. But yeah, that was the moment for me that started the break in our relationship. And granted, look, check this out. This was 2013. We're just getting healing from this. In 2021. And imagine if something would happen. And I'll come back to that later. But let's go to, that was my flag. Now let's go to your flag. Yours was when I started Victorious Life.
Yeah, so his was when we started Victorious Life. You know, me and Shonda, we got married. And, you know, pretty much him and Keisha came over to the house telling me about the ministry. They were starting the ministry. And with so much going on, I kind of felt like I needed to separate. I wanted to separate from the family church, you know, because I've been a part of the family church pretty much all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to kind of spread out. I wanted to kind of get out. And I didn't want to be a part of the family church. So I told him, you know, no, we're not going to join the family church. We're not going to go with you this time.
Now, granted, we never asked y'all.
Yeah.
We never asked y'all about joining our church. We were just going to talking to different family members, because we was all still a part of the same ministry where we all come out of. They were still a part of it. And then we went and just talked to my parents. Like I said, I was close with Sheldon at the time, and I talked to them about it. And then I talked to, you know, the crew about, you know, what God was doing, dealing with me with in regards to starting the ministry. And, you know, it was a lot of people that talked about it. We're not going to go that way.
And so even though they were starting it,
right,
and I wasn't a part of it, I did give my support in some way. I did support in a way. So, you know, I didn't, like, you know, I wasn't like, hey, yeah, you go start the ministry, you know, and never support it. I tried to come to every event, whatever that was happening. I tried to, you know, whenever they did something, I would show support.
Yeah, you. I have to say you were supportive about it. But then before we go into that part, we have to talk about this because then it'll explain.
Okay.
Go to the. You'll go into that backstory.
Okay.
So when we were talking about, like I told y'all, Keisha and her memory, and I remember this too as well. When we were talking to y'all about the ministry, like I said, we never asked y'all about being a part of the ministry.
Yeah.
And Shonda made the statement saying, you know, we don't think that y'all are a fit for us because basically saying we don't, I forgot the exact word, Keisha know it line upon line, but basically saying that we wasn't prepared, that we couldn't offer y'all anything.
Yeah.
We couldn't offer y'all anything as a ministry or whatever like that. And we looked like, well, we never offered y'all in the first place. So why would you feel that way or whatever like that? It just came all out the blue or whatever like that. Like, well, why would she say something like that or whatever like that? And, you know, that was another flag or whatever like that. But like I said, now that we're older, we understand what was going on. So go from that point, what happened was, in my eyes, it had, y'all gave off the vibes like, you'll support me, but y'all will never be good enough for us. Now, yeah. Go ahead.
Now, the backstory on that part is there was somebody else people feeding us lines.
Right.
Like, even in the background. So,
Not just people, but people that the church that y'all transitioned to. They were talking to y'all about.
Yeah, they were pretty much putting words in our, well, because they didn't get a hold of me yet, but you know, pretty much like the wife was just talking with my wife,
mm-hmm.
and just putting words, telling my wife this stuff and that and all this other stuff, like, you know, and was feeding my wife words. And so, not saying that my wife don't have her own mind, but
she was naive and she still fed up under the everything that I say is from God.
Yeah.
Thing that leaders do.
Manipulation. Yeah, manipulation. Sorry. So that is what happened with that situation. For me, my situation came when everything changed for me was, like I said, they started the ministry. We went to the other ministry and, we had a guys' night out and, we just hanging out, fellowshipping, waiting for Elijah One and, Alden to come. And I was with a couple guys and, one of them was a part of the ministry, but they pretty much was like kind of bashing me, like, why you ain't join your brother church?
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty much like, I should have joined my brother church. I should have did this, you know, making me feel like I wasn't going to be, moving up in God. Making me feel bad about myself,
right.
You know, so. And I was looking for it, and what I did was I went and talked to Elijah One, told Elijah One what happened. And I was looking for him to defend me, but at the time, you know, he didn't say much of nothing, so we didn't, you know, I didn't. Because
from my eyes, I blew it off. It wasn't, I was agreeing with them. Because I never hard time y'all about where y'all decided to go to at all. Y'all never got that from me. But I just blew it off from what those guys were doing or whatever like that. I was like, you know, that's just them. They just talking or whatever like that. I don't pay it no mind or whatever. Not realizing that it affects you in that way or whatever like that. Yeah. And I apologize for that because I should have stopped it. If once I heard about it, I should have went to them and corrected. Like, no. This where they want to go at. This where they spiritual going at. You know, let them be where they feel like they need to be at. And that on my part, I apologize about not sticking up for you or not standing and saying, calling right and wrong. So, yeah, that's definitely my bad on that part. But for you, me not standing up for you,
That's where it changed for me. But I do want to say, and I guess we'll go into that later on too, that throughout me and Olajuwon, situations, conversations that we had, there was never just me and him. There was always somebody
right
in the middle of something.
Right. And that's what we said last week. We said that, you know, anytime we got into it with somebody, it was never me and you going at it with each other or because of me and you.
Yeah.
It was because of somebody on the outside or whatever like that. And what happened was, okay, we're starting Victorious Life. Now run Jax, but back then it's Victorious Life. So we're running Victorious Life, and you were in the process of becoming a minister at the church that you, or so you thought you were becoming a minister.
Yeah.
At the church that you were at. And what happened was the pastor of that church was
planting the seeds of discord,
basically. And he was asking you, like, Olajuwon ain't gonna have you come speak at his church or whatever like that. Yeah. And then he was coming to me and saying, Sheldon don't know how to speak. He don't even accept the engagement or the opportunities that he's giving him to speak at the church he attends.
Which was all a lie.
So in my head, I'm like, okay, well, if you can't speak at your church, why would I let you come over here and speak at our church? Because, and then, like I said, also from the situation that happened with Shonda, from that point on, me and Keisha felt like, we would never be good enough for y'all to be a part or do something at the church. So that's why I wouldn't ask you to come and speak at the church. Although there were times I might have wanted to, I didn't because, one, your pastor was telling me one thing. Two, I felt like y'all felt this way about our ministry. So if you just gonna support us, but I'm not going to have you involved in something you don't even believe. You might not believe in.
Yeah, and I felt like, you know, well, maybe he don't consider me as a minister. You know, he don't want, you know, maybe I don't fit the ministry, the way I present the word. I don't fit the ministry. So that's one way I felt like, well, maybe that's the reason why I'm not getting engagement to speak or anything. But I want to go back even before that happened with the previous ministry I was at. That was like, when I say when y'all started the ministry, like we discussed, there was other people that was coming to me. That was like, coming to me and Shonda was like, are y'all going to visit Olajuwon Church? Y'all going to be a part of Olajuwon Church? I was like, no, we're not going to join the church. They were like, oh, thank God. Oh, he did this out of order. Da, 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 da. And I was, you know.
And that was the church we all came out
and
of.
And I was like, man, that's kind of, you know, that's, I ain't going to say kind of, but, you know, that was jacked up, like, to say something like that, you know. But, you know. It's like I said, it's with every conversation, there's been a person that planted the seed of discord in between me and Olajuwon relationship. So
I think what we felt that was we didn't see the seed. And we didn't see, hey, did you say this? No, I didn't say this. Well, who said this? Such and such said
this. Yeah, we didn't even come to each other and
right,
say that.
Right, right, right. We weren't man enough to come to each other and talk this thing out or whatever like that. And through the course of time, he felt some kind of way. I felt some kind of way. And then don't get it twisted. Even though we felt certain ways about each other, we were still coming and supporting each other.
Yeah.
The time that Sheldon had a speaking engagement or he had to go speak somewhere, I would come see him. The church anniversary or whatever, Sheldon would come visit, or he would pop his head in every now and again. So we were still, in a way, as this is like an oxymoron, although we were at odds with each other to some degree,
we still were supportive of each other because we still had that foundation of brotherhood or yeah. whatever like that. And like I said, it was never the fact of me saying, you're not good enough to come speak at Victorious Life. But the thing was, you know, if I'm getting this report, I believe in doing everything in decency and in order. And, if you're, the person that you are saying is your pastor is saying that you out of order, that you're doing this and you're doing that, and telling me about stuff, why would I have somebody to come and speak at our at the church and they don't have the blessings of their pastor?
Yeah. And that was never true, because I always, whatever that I was asked to do, I did. And here's the thing, like, yeah, I mess up. You know, anyone mess up your first year.
Right.
Your first year, you're gonna fumble. You're gonna mess up. So that was like actually like my, even though I said yes in 13, I started when in 15. I started in 16 when I came over there.
Right.
So that was like my first time like really speaking then. So, but whenever I was asked to do it, I did.
Right.
I thought I was doing everything right, but you know, come to find out, it was just
it was a lot of politics and a lot of behind the scenes playing, because the ultimate goal was the I'm just gonna say it how I want to say it, the ultimate goal of this scheme was the demise of Victorious Life, and have me and my wife come over there to the church you started going to, because they wanted to be the covering or the overseer of Victorious Life, and they wanted my wife to be coming over there and doing praise service for their services, and they wanted to serve as my covering when they had. If you think I was not qualified, you thought Sheldon was not qualified. Surely. You definitely were not qualified.
Pretty much.
You were not qualified or whatever like that. And I'm not saying that they could never be, but what I'm saying is it shows what type of leader you are if you feel like you got to manipulate and play these kind of games. And here's the sick thing about it. Between brothers, between blood. And I got to say this, John. I got to call this out. I'm going to let you go, bro. Daddy caught that junk out from Jump Street. He said, boy, son, I don't know what it is, but it's just something that I don't like what I see, and I don't like what's going on. It's something going on. I just can't put my finger on it, but it's something going on with this whole situation.
Every time I would come over Pop House, he would always ask me, like, man, y'all still over there? Like, yes, sir. We still over there. Man, I can't wait till y'all leave. And then when we left, he was like happy. Like, Pop was like really happy about that situation. And you know, it just, that whole situation was just crazy. It was a messy situation.
It was very, very messy. And you know, and I can say on my part, and I believe on Shutter Part 2, we don't have no ill will against nobody. No. We've moved on, we move forward, and we move upward in life, whatever like that. So it's like, it's easy to come and talk about it because we're healed from it.
Yeah.
And I think the final part of the healing came when we were able to sit down and talk about it as adults and apologize and get things right. I think it kind of brought our bond back together, because it's like, even when, you know, before the conversation, I would joke around with you or whatever like that. And it's like, I kind of walked around eggshells with joking with you and messing around until you had to tell me like you can joke with me. It's all good. Like, why you acting like that or whatever like that? And I was like, you know, I told Keisha, I'm like, I just don't know how to do it because I don't want to offend him or whatever. But I think just sitting down and having that conversation, it kind of like,
relieved a lot of stuff.
It did. And it cleared a lot of land. And it pulled a lot of foolishness out or whatever like that. Because, like you said, it was never, for the most part, the thing that really caused our rift or our feud with each other was never anything between me and you that we couldn't talk out. But it was just a lot of seeds of discord being planted, and we wasn't mature enough to see what was being done or whatever like that with us. And, you know, we wish all ministries the best, because the truth is we're all on the same team or whatever like that. But
supposed to be.
Yeah, we're all supposed to be on the same team or whatever. But I don't like the manipulation game. And that shows what kind of leader you are for you to do things like that, because you're trying to play one over the other to get your game. And man, that's why.
And then I will tell you, like, even when, you know, I would start feeling some at the time when I was over there, you know, I would feel some type of way about it. You know, I really would every now, I ain't gonna say every Sunday, but, you know, every weeknight service, but I would feel some type of way about it. And it just didn't sit right with me. Some of the stuff that was, that he would say, or some of the stuff that he would do, it just didn't sit well with me.
Mm.
And one day, you know, I had to really pray about it. I was like, okay, God, is this time for us to go? And, you know, once I got that relief, like, hey, it's time to go, you know, we had a meeting, we discussed with them, hey, we finna leave. And, you know, they act like they cool with us, but, you know,
no,
it's not. You know, it was underhanded stuff.
Because now that you say that, when y'all left, they started treating us funny. Not him, but her. Because we had saw them somewhere, and it was all love with him. It was like, hey, man, how you doing? He was so glad to see us, gave a hug, a friendly conversation. Hey, she's such and such is over there. Go tell her, hey. And then when I say she gave us the nastiest, coldest shoulder that you would ever want to give somebody, and, you know, it really put a bad taste in our mouth. And Keisha, I you know, I don't control my wife, but I told her, you could never go over there and help out and sing and stuff like that. If that's the way that you're going to treat us and the way that you're going to act and stuff like that, no. The answer is no.
And still to this day, like, I won't do any. No, I had a discussion with this with one guy before, and one of my barbers, and we was talking, and, you know, pretty much he was like, you know, you can forgive a person, but because you forgave them doesn't mean you got to go right back in and start hanging around
right,
with them. Like,
right.
You know, if I forgave you and I want my distance, hey, we good. Like, I'm good with you. Like, don't worry, you know, I ain't got to, you know, hang out with you.
Right, right.
And that's the way I am. Like, I'm good with you. Like, you know, I forgive you. But, you know, there were some things that kind of hurt it. My relationship with family, and that hurt my relationship, you know, even with God, that where I had to, like, separate from y'all to kind of get back focused on God and family again.
Right.
So, me and you talked about this, and even Shonda, we talked about this. I always said that if I could go back and erase that, all that, I would. Because that was a waste of my time. But I look back at it now, and I'm like, hey, you know what? It brought me to a better place now. I'm at a better place now.
Right.
So, you know, I guess you do have to appreciate.
Yeah, you got to be. I told the church Sunday, and I tell them this all the time. We can't quote these scriptures and then don't live these scriptures. We say all things work together. All things work together. Even the foolishness, it worked together, because we wouldn't been able to learn and to grow if we didn't have the mess covering us
where we were able to grow.
Yeah.
A seed can't grow without manure. Manure is mess. So without the mess, we wouldn't have been able to grow. So, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, this lesson that we learned or whatever like that. And like I said, I'm truly grateful for it. And I'm glad that we are back, you know, together. We respect each other in the place that we are in now as husbands, as fathers, you know, and we can relate on a different level or whatever like that. We can talk to each other about different things or whatever. And we were able to reconcile. And that's what I want to encourage everybody on that's listening to do. Be in a place to look at things from a different perspective. If I was able to look at it from Shell's perspective, Sheldon was able to look at it from my perspective, we would have been able to get things together sooner than we did. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy that we had time to get it together. But who says you're going to have that same opportunity?
Yeah.
And as bad as it seemed, be mature. Somebody got to be the mature one in the situation and be the one that conversates and talk about it. And that's not coming defensive. That's not coming only to hear, to defend, but there you're in a place where you can hear or you can listen to heal.
Yeah.
Don't, like I say that again, don't come listening to defend yourself. Come listening to heal. And if both of y'all can come, both parties can come with that mindset, healing can take place. And we finna get ready to get out of here, but I want Sheldon to kind of close it out because he said what he said when you said about backstory or whatever like that. You pretty much summed up everything in a nutshell when we had that conversation the other day. So tell us that lesson that you had got out of this whole thing with us reconciling it and get things back together.
The lesson I learned that there's a story behind the story.
Mm.
And like you have to, like you said, you have to, both of y'all have to, both parties have to come and heal and not be so on the defensive side. Because right. There was times where I came, and I can only speak for me. There was times where I pull up in the parking lot at the church, or whether I came to the house, I'm already on the defensive side.
Right, right.
And so I'm like, hey, you know, I hope they don't say this. I hope they don't say that. Now I'm gonna get teed off. I'm gonna get, you know, get mad. But, you know, I had over the years, you know, you got the mature. You have to learn maturity, and you have to say, learn how to, you know, now I'm the type of person now I have to sit back. I have to listen to what everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. Listen to what they're saying so that I can soak everything in. And then and process everything in, and then have an understanding. Hey, Sheldon, there was something like make sure I find my fault. Make sure I'm doing what is right. So, you know, I want to say even in that, you know, in what we're saying, like, you know, I believe in just being like, laying everything down, like this, you know, scripture say, you know, leave all your gifts at the altar, mm-hmm. and you know, go and you know, fix the problem with your brother or your sister, you know.
Right.
So, you know, just be willing to lay everything down and try to work things out. Like you said, man, tomorrow's not promised.
No.
You know, even you know, right now we're dealing with this COVID. People are dying every day.
Crazy, man.
It's you know, and I think one thing I thought about before I end it, when you had your situation with the nail and you had it in your foot and, you know, you just laying in the hospital and things like that, you know, I don't know, man. We could have, you know, just that situation, it could have got worse, and it could have, you know, it could have went another way.
Right.
In that, and we could have, you know, end up losing you. And, you know, I'm just like, now I'm at a place where I'm learning to forgive and right. I'm learning to move on. Like I said, I don't have no ill feelings towards no one. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Some things, sometimes it does pop up in my head. Like certain situations does pop up in my head. Lajuan can tell you there's been certain situations that has happened through this that has popped up in my head. Right. But one thing he told me, he's like, man, you got to learn how to forgive, learn how to let go. And now that's where I'm at. I learned how to let go. Like, you know, I pray that everything be successful with them, but nah, I don't want to hear nothing about it no more. Right, you know, I move on to a better thing.
It's a closed chapter.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about where you are, because you're at a ministry that if we didn't start Victorious Life, that's where we would have been at. And I'm so glad to see you where you are now, and that you're growing and that you're getting the training that is going to make you even more successful and even more effective. And I'm really just proud of you. I'm proud of the man that you are. I'm proud of the husband you are, the father that you are, the minister that you are. And I'm just really proud to call you my brother, my little brother. And you'll always be my little brother. And
same here, man.
I'm just really proud of you. And I'm grateful for you. And yeah, this was the episode of Reconciliation. And like Sheldon said, there's a story behind the story. Get the full story before you become so defensive. If we would have got that lesson years ago, like I said, 2013 to now, 8 years ago, 8 years apart, if we would have got that lesson, we could have been back sooner. That's my only regret, that we didn't get it right sooner.
Yeah,
get it right, people. I don't know how long you've been separate from this family member or this friend or whatever like that, if they're for you. Now, there's some people that we done cut off. I ain't going back.
No,
there's some friendships that I done had. I ain't going back. You ask me who it is,
it's a done deal.
I might tell you, I might not tell you, depending on how I'm feeling that day. But I don't do certain people no more.
It's a done deal.
Yeah. But those connections, like, my brother, I would never let anything else separate us, our relationship like that again, because we mature enough to talk about it.
And same here too.
And I want y'all to get that in y'all head. It's time to reconcile our relationship. We're losing people too quickly, too much, especially here in Florida with our great governor. And I say that sarcastically, with this genius of a governor we have and these genius people that don't want to get vaccinated, that's my opinion, and don't want to wear their mask, that's my opinion, and we're getting sick and stuff, and we're losing people by the thousands, by the hundreds, we're losing people, and who's to say that death won't knock on our door? So we got to do what we need to do so that we can get things right, because we never know who next.
And I want to say one more thing too, like, going back to when we left the ministry, and make sure that it don't affect your family. Like, when I say your family, I'm talking about your spouse and your kids, because even with that situation, it affected my kids and my wife so to where even my daughter, she had a learning disability because and I truly believe this, that somebody from that place prayed something on my child. And someone came and called us and told us this kind of stuff that was going on. So, you know, it took years. Now my daughter is like, well, she's good. You know, she, Allison is like, you know, doing a lot of stuff now, you know, that we thought that she wouldn't be able to do. But someone came and like really told us this, hey, the last place y'all was at, that was they planted the seed on y'all, on your family. So I had to like kind of, we had to like pray for our family, constantly right. Pray for my family.
Right.
But you know, it just make sure you, you know, like we've been saying the whole time, like make sure you get, you know, get healed and make sure you do everything right, because you don't want nothing to affect your family and everything that's going on.
Right. So, you know, when you move on, make sure you move on completely. And I'm really, like I said again, I'm proud of you, Sheldon. I'm proud of, you know, what you're doing and what you and Shonda are establishing, how God's blessing your family. And I'm just looking forward to seeing great things from y'all. And I really appreciate you being on this episode with me.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
All right, no problem at all. Thank you. But I really hope that y'all got something out of this episode. Really intense but truthful and honest conversation that maybe will help you in your road. All right. Thanks again to my brother. Thank y'all for listening. We'll be back next week for another episode of Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Remember, always in life, be positive, be productive, and be purposeful. Fellow on the